Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophet. So the righteousness of God, what he's talking about is this salvation plan here. Now Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of righteousness. For man, we can find righteousness in what he had completed in his work on the cross. Now man that is sinful can become righteous before a holy God. Isn't that wonderful? And so justification, you can also use the simple phrase, just as if I had never sinned. Justification. Can you picture yourself just as if you had never sinned before a holy God? Can you picture yourself just as you had never sinned before a holy God? It's kind of hard, isn't it? There's some things that is God's work, and there's some things that is man's work. There's some responsibility that falls on man, and there's most of the response. It's like the man who was had a garden, and the neighbor come along, he'd walk along the road, and the man was out working in the garden. It was so beautiful. I mean, things were growing, they were producing fruit, and the man who walked along the road was a Christian, but the man that was working the garden was not a Christian, okay? He said, he made a comment, he said, "My, that's a beautiful garden that you and God had there." He was witnessing to his neighbor that was not a Christian. And he piped up right away and said, "Well, you should have seen this before God, when God had it all by himself." Okay? You should have seen this garden when God had it all by himself. Well, you know what? What do you think it would look like if the man would have had it all by himself? Okay? He didn't recognize how much he depended on God. Okay? In salvation, it's the same way. I mean, we also, in salvation, hey, very little of the work in salvation really belongs to us, but God does not override free choice. He will not override your choice. Your choice, your decisions, what you make, that will, God honors that. And so when a man is under conviction by the Holy Spirit and God speaks to his heart, and if he says yes, God honors that. If he says no, God honors that too. But that man is responsible for a no answer. And he knows it as he goes through life. If he says no to the Holy Spirit, he will have to take the responsibility of his actions when he meets before God. He can change. God gives him grace and time. He can change. But when you say no to God's Spirit, you have to take responsibility for God takes you at your word, but you have to take responsibility for your action. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So both the law that came help me out here. The law came. Let's see. So Jesus was 4,000 years after creation. The law came 1,500 years before. That's correct? If we had a timeline? Okay, so between the cross and creation, what was that year 2000 halfway?
The flood.
The flood was at 1656.
Abraham.
Abraham starts in chapter 6 of Genesis. So you have as much space between Abraham and the cross in the first six chapters is 2,000 years between the Genesis and check me out on that. I always stand the chance to be wrong, so check me out on that. But that's been done over and over in our church. Like our young children know that answer. I suppose Neve knew that answer, but 4,000 years here, 2,000 years in the center is Abraham, and the law was given 500 years later, 480 years later. So 1,500 years. So this very short time that actually the people of God had the law. But when they did get the law was testifying of this right here. And the prophets, it could put another circle here, they were also testifying of this right here. It's like God was inspiring through the Holy Spirit and through his work that this is yet to come. I don't know why he waited 4,000 years, but that was the goodness of God. He was gracious to those people who were ignorant, but he's good to us that we have it today. Then it says in verse 23, "For all have sinned." He injects this again. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So he injects that is the reason for this. Because at the foot of the cross, it's level ground. It does not matter who I've been before, whether I've been raised in a Christian home, or whether I'm the Harley Davidson driver that haven't had an inch or ounce of teaching, tattoos up this side and down this side, and smoking pot and whatever else, and driving motorcycle. It doesn't matter. At the foot of the cross, it's level. Amen. We cannot discard people by their outside and their upbringing. Many of them may wish they had what we have. We must just thank God for the privileges we've had in our teaching. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's what the Jews needed to know, that they were just as bad as the Gentiles. Then we go to chapter 5. "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And that seems to be a marvel to me. So back in the beginning, like back at the creation, you know, it said that God understood his plan way before he started creation. Way before he started creation, he already. And if you look at Ephesians 1, I think about verse 5, that God had already started his plan way before creation. It wasn't like he created man, which was the crowning touch of his creation, and then here comes Satan and spoils it all, and he says to the, and the Trinity starts conversing with you. It's not like they said, "Oh, look, man has sinned now. We had planned that we were going to have a perfect earth for thousands of years or for eternity. And now we've got this thing to fix." That's not God. God is all-knowing. Why would he have created man if he knew they were going to fail? Why would he have created angels if he knew a third of them were going to be swiped out by the tail of Satan? We don't understand God. But he knew this from from eternity past. God is God. But does God love his people even if they fail? Yes, he loves them. He loves them. He supplied the remedy for us through the cross. Thank God. Thank God. Okay. I know I'm taking way too long. Okay. Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God."
Tonight, on the road to salvation, I'm going to hurry through some verses here, but y'all listen closely. The great salvation plan. There is a story I ever knew I love to tell it for. How Jesus gave his life for me. I want to love him more. We sang that the other night. Do you recognize, along with everyone else, that you are a sinner? That you indeed are a sinner? That you are utterly hopeless in your own self? Like you cannot fix it. It takes God to fix it for you. That it is the provisions of Christ on Calvary. It is his sacrifice that was given for you and for me. That he offers to save you. God's invitation is to you personally. In Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Heavy laden with what? Heavy laden with sins. Heavy laden with sins. I will give you rest. Is your load heavy that you're carrying? Are you free? Is the guilt of sin unbearable? Do times that you go to bed at night and you think of it and you think, oh no, what if I die? My son left our church when he joined the fire department, and he said that he did not know. He thought he could still leave our church because of things that he was required with the fire department. It was a paid fire department. He thought he could leave and still be a Christian. And he said one night he was at a party with one of his firemen, and he was drinking a little, and they were dancing, and the ladies were plenteous there, and they would have loved to have Nathan. Nathan said he wouldn't want it. He didn't want it. He didn't want that kind of a girl. He wanted a chaste young girl. That's what he wanted. But he had left the church. It was going to be hard for him. But that night, as he was there, and all this partying was going on, he said, if Jesus comes here tonight, who am I going to go with? These people? Or am I going to go to heaven? And that's what started changing his direction in life. Praise God. God took the mess he was in and made a message, because he turned around. It took him a little while. It was actually deeper than he thought he was. But he said, sin will take you farther than what you thought you would go. There's a song that goes that way. That's the things he told me. He told me, sin will take you further than what you think you'll go. Come unto me, all ye that labor, you're heavy laden. I will give you rest. Jesus is giving you that personal invitation. And do you want rest for your never dying soul? It's eternal rest. It's eternal. It can go on for eternity. What do you have to lose? Jesus encouraged you to enter in at the straight gate in Matthew 5:13-14. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I was given a job or interview to a young black man that I had known since he was 14 years old. Verdell Clemens. And he wanted to work for me. I said, Berta, let's go home. But I had something else in mind. He was about 17, 18 years old, just getting out of high school. I'm going to give Verdell an opportunity. So we went home. We sat at the dining room table. I pulled out my Bible. I said, Verdell, I said, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. I want to go up there. I don't want to go down there. I said, Verdell, and I started reading this very verse here. The Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Do you know what for gate that is? No, he didn't. He's never been taught, okay? Said, Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many that go in there. You know what gate that is? That must be hell. I ain't going down there. He said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. Few that be there find it. Verdale, the people that you know in your community, are there many people going to heaven or are they going to hell? He said, there are many going to hell. Are you living any different than they are? And he thought. He said, many, many will come to me later on in the chapter. Many, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have I not done this and that and the other prophesied in my name, cast out devils? And he's going to say to them, depart from me, I never knew. Verdale, would you like to be a Christian tonight? And the Holy Spirit of God was speaking on that man's life, but he said he's not ready. He's been in and out of prison since then. He's been dealing in drugs. He's about 40 years old now. Still not making a change in his life. He's doing a little bit of stealing on the side. Verdale needs Jesus, but he was given an opportunity and he refused. Another black boy was in the Parchman prison. And Gospel Echoes was there giving a week of revivals, and I spent about 4 days with him. And the one evening we were at what they call the Spiritual Life Center in the Parchman prison, and they brought in the juvenile unit of ages 18 and under. 17 and under. And it was about 4 or 5 busloads. I mean, it was packed out. And Todd Newlands wanted to preach the evangelistic sermon. And when he gave the invitation, there was about 25% of those boys stood up. And there was not enough personal workers to take care of everybody that responded to the invitation. Now, wouldn't you like to have that situation? Well, about 2 boys down, there was about a 12-year-old boy stood up. And so as soon as the prayer was over, I went over and said, son, would you like for me to help you? He said, yes, please. So we walked over there. Now, they could not go out to a nice, quiet place where we could pray. And I was not quite as hard of hearing as what I am here, but I talked to him, and I said, is there something you want to help with? And he said, I just need Jesus in my life. And I quoted a few scriptures to him, like we're going to hear tonight. And we knelt beside this one pillar there on the side here. Where we just knelt down. I said, you just pray to Jesus just like he was sitting here right in this room. You ask him to forgive your sins. And you accept him as Lord and Savior in your life. And I could not hear his prayer as much as I wanted to. I wanted to hear that boy's prayer. But when we got done praying, he prayed and I prayed. By the time the prison guard was saying, all right, everybody out to the bus. I said, do you have a few things to say? And he got up. And you know what I saw? I saw the joy of the Lord on his face. And he said this. He said, yes, I have something to tell you. He said, I did something wrong in my unit, and I want to go confess that to the superior that's over me. Who told him that? I didn't tell him that. You know, when someone comes through with God, the Holy Spirit will take them on. The Holy Spirit was already working on his heart to get him to victory. Isn't that amazing? You know, this work is bigger than what we can do, even us church leaders. Sometimes I want to see our church members go past the lines that we draw. I want to see them draw closer and have a better communication with God than what I do. I want them to see them excel. I want them to one day replace me and get me and be here preaching the messages that I'm preaching today, that God can lay on their hearts the messages to preach, because I'm only here for a short time. The church needs to go till the day of Jesus Christ. We need to have more young men rise up and be men of God. The invitation is here for you personally. There are but two ways, and there are but two destinations. Verdale knew it right. Heaven or hell. Even in that, he chose wrong. Only you can make the choice. If the Spirit is speaking, inviting you to come and surrender your life tonight, then I encourage you, don't put it off. We will help you to find peace through Jesus. Jesus died for you, John 3:16, that ever familiar verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave his Son on this earth. He humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus did not come to condemn you. It says in John 3:17, he came to save you. That's his purpose. He did not come to destroy the world. He came so that the world could be saved. That's his purpose. The choice is yours, though. Jesus also said to Martha in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead spiritually, yet shall he live spiritually. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, before he gave his life on Calvary, already told Martha at the death of Lazarus, he told her, says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, that's the big word. Are you going to believe in Christ? Are you going to put forth your feeble little efforts to go and say, God, I will be your servant? But you need to give up. You need to give up. You need to give your life to him fully and believe on him. Though you are dead spiritually, it says, yet shall he live spiritually. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He asked Martha, believest thou this? Let your answer be what Martha's answer was. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Martha said, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. The Jews could have accused her of blasphemy, what they thought was blasphemy, but that is a true statement. That's what we have to do. We have to come to the place where we believe this Jesus is the Son of God and that he will save us from our sins, and we need to yield ourselves to him. You cannot do this on your own merits and strength. In Ephesians 2:8 it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In the next verse it says, but we are his workmanship, created unto him unto good works. There's a purpose for us. Yes, there's so much that we cannot do on our own. God has to do his work in our hearts to change us. Tonight we're encouraging you to make the confession of your sins, the Adamic sin, and ask Jesus to cleanse you. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the beautiful story of old. It's been told over and over again since Christ Jesus of his saving love. That's what the apostles preached. That's what the church preached through the ages. And that's what we're preaching today. It is Christ Jesus that comes and saves us from our sins. Isn't it so beautiful, y'all? The road to salvation. Tonight, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to give you an opportunity. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, we want you to have an opportunity to give your life to the Lord Jesus. We want you to be saved if you're not saved. I believe that we do have a fellowship of believers here, and I appreciate that. But if there's someone who, for some reason, is not ready to meet Jesus, like Nathan said, if he comes tonight, make yourself ready. Tonight is the opportunity for you. We're not trying to scare you into heaven. Just mind the Holy Spirit. If he's drawing you, we just encourage you to yield. So, we're going to, our song leader can have a